بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، ما بعد. الوقوع في المسلم إنكاره صلى الله عليه وسلم على رجل في ذلك. أخرج أبو نعيم عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال: وقع رجل عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في رجل، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قم لا شهادة لك. قال: يا رسول الله، فلست أعود. قال: أصبحت تهزو بالقرآن ما أمر بالقرآن من استحل محارم كذا في الكنز. وأخرج أبو نعيم في الحلية عن طارق بن شهاب قال: كان بين خالد وسعد رضي الله عنهما كلام، فذهب رجل يقع في خالد عند سعد فقال: مه، إنما بيننا لم يبلغ ديننا. وأخرج الطبراني عن طارق مثله قال: الهيثم ورجاله رجال الصحيح. أخرج عبد الرزاق وأبو داود عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: جاء الأسلمي نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فشهد على نفسه أنه أصاب امرأة حراما 4 مرات، كل ذلك يعرض عليه عنه، فذكر الحديث وفيه قال: فأمر به فرجم. فسمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلين من أصحابه يقول أحدهما لصاحبه: انظر إلى هذا الذي ستر الله عليه، فلم تدعه نفسه حتى رجم رجم الكلب، فلم تدعه نفسه حتى رجم رجم الكلب. فسكت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عنهما، ثم سار ساعة حتى مر بجيفة حمار شائل لرجله، فقال: أين فلان وفلان؟ قال: نحن ذان يا رسول الله. قال: انزلا فكلا من جيفة هذا الحمار. فقال: يا نبي الله، غفر الله لك، من يأكل من هذا؟ قال: فمن ينتبى من عرض أخيكما آنفا أشد من أكل الميتة، والذي نفسي بيده، إنه الآن لفي أنهار الجنة ينغمس فيها كذا في الكنز. وأخرج عبد الرزاق عن ابن المنكدر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجم امرأة، فقال بعض المسلمين: حبط عمل هذه. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بل هذه كفارة لما عملت، وتحاسب أنت بما عملت. أخرج أبو داود والترمذي والبيهقي عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت: قلت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: حسبك من صفية كذا وكذا. قال بعض الرواة: تعني قصيرة. فقال: لقد قلت كلمة لو مزجت بماء البحر لمزجته. قالت: وحكيت له إنسانا. فقال: ما أحب أن حكيت لي إنسانا وأن لي كذا وكذا. قال الترمذي: حديث حسن صحيح. وعند أبي داود أيضا عنها أنه اعتل بعير لصفية بنت حيي، وعند زينب فضل ظهر رضي الله عنهما، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: زينب أعطيها بعيرا. فقالت: أنا أعطي تلك اليهودية. فغضب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهجر هذا الحجة والمحرم وبعد الصفر، كذا في الترغيب. وأخرج ابن سعد نحو في حديثه: فترك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحجة والمحرم 2 أو 3 لا يأتيها. قالت زينب رضي الله عنها: حتى يئست منه. This is a chapter which Hazrat Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is entitled Al-Wuqu' fi al-Muslim, that is to slander, backbite, ghibat, or to attack the honor and dignity of a Muslim. The first riwayat mentioned by Abu Nu'aym, where Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala is the narrator, he says that one person started speaking ill, backbiting about someone else in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that person, stand up, leave the gathering, your shahadat is not accepted. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, I will never return back to that action. I seek repentance. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you people have begun to make a mockery of the Qur'an. He can never have iman on the Qur'an who makes halal that which the Qur'an has made haram. Referring to the verse of the Quran, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Allah Ta'ala says that do not backbite about one another. Next incident, Hazrat Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi mentions, the narrator is Talib bin Shihab. He says that there was a dispute between Khalid and Saad radiallahu anhuma. So one person, in the presence of Saad radiallahu ta'ala, who started speaking ill about Khalid, backbiting about him. So immediately Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the normal reaction would be, get happy, he's talking bad about my enemy. But the reaction of the Sahabi was that dispute which is between me and him, I will not allow you to let it destroy and affect my deen by you backbiting about him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Ma'iz Aslami radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he gave evidence against himself that he had committed zina with a woman. Each time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away and ignored what he was saying. But Ma'iz repeated this 4 times. Thereafter, Allah's Rasul was compelled, the order of Rajam was given, Ma'iz Aslami was stoned to death. After this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard two Sahaba speaking amongst themselves. The conversation went as follows. The Sahabi said, look at that person, referring to Ma'iz Aslami. Allah concealed his wrong, but his own personality would not let him leave it at that. He had to go and reveal the wrong that he did, so that he got pelted to death like how a dog will be pelted. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he heard this, he didn't say anything, he remained silent. He walked a little distance, until he passed by the body of a dead donkey, which was decaying to the extent that the body was blowing up. So he said, where is so and so? Sahaba heard that they had been summoned, so immediately these two Sahabi came and said, Ya Rasulullah, we are present. He said, go down now and I want you two to eat from the corpse, to eat from the carrion of this donkey. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, may Allah forgive you. This is an Arabic expression, not that Allah must really forgive you, but they were surprised at what he had requested. And they said, how is it possible? Who could possibly eat from a dead donkey? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that which you are partaking of the dignity and honor of your brother just now is a worse crime in the sight of Allah Ta'ala than partaking from this carrion. And then he said, by the qasam of that being, in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are speaking ill of Ma'iz Aslami, yet right now I can see him bathing in the streams of Jannah. Abdul Razak mentions on Ibn al-Munkadir that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered that a woman should be pelted to death. So some of the believers started talking amongst themselves and they said that this woman, because she committed adultery, she has destroyed all her good deeds. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, hearing this, he reprimanded them and said that that rajam and that pelting is kafara, is sufficient for her to gain forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala over the wrong that she did. But the wrong that you are doing now, by speaking ill about her, that you will have to give account for in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Another narration, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, she says that I, one occasion, passed a comment about Safiya radiallahu anha, that is another wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Aisha radiallahu anha says, I use the word qasiratun, that Safiya is short. She says that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he said, O Aisha, you have uttered a word, your tone, the insult which you have uttered or directed towards Safiya, if this had to be mixed up with the seven oceans of the world, the seven oceans of the world will turn to poison. She says, on one occasion I mentioned something negative about someone else to him. He said, O Aisha, if on the one hand I was offered to be given the wealth of the entire world, and with that to hear something ill about somebody else, I would not be prepared to do this. Abu Dawud narrates the riwayat that on one occasion, Safiya radiallahu anha, Safiya binti Huyay, her lineage was from amongst the Jews. On one occasion her camel became ill, and Zainab radiallahu anha, another wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had a spare camel. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Zainab radiallahu anha, that why don't you lend your camel to Safiya? She said, haughtily on that occasion, that should I give my camel to that Yahudi, in other words, that Jewish woman, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so angry at this insult, that for the entire Zilhijjah, for Muharram and for a portion of Safar, that is 3 months, he broke off all ties with Zainab radiallahu anha. Did not speak to her or have any relations with her whatsoever. Then the narration it comes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left her by way of reprimand for Zilhijjah, for Muharram, 2 months or 3 months. He would not even share the bed with her. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha says, he left me for such a long period of time. He broke off ties with me for such a long period of time over this one statement, that will I give my camel to that Yahudi woman. That, she says, I had reached a level where I had lost hope. I thought that he had left me forever. We find, respected brothers, from these riwayats which are mentioned, we can see the emphasis that our Shariat has placed with regards to the correct utilization of our tongues. with our speech, that we do not become a source of hurting anyone, slandering anyone. We find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equated our deen and he said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, that Islam is founded upon five things. Famous hadith, where he said, the five things is shahadat of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, establishment of salah, paying of zakat, fasting and the hajj. Unfortunately, to a very large extent, many of us feel that that is Islam. In other words, these aspects of ibadat, these aspects of worship. On one occasion, one of our elders, Azma Ibrahim Dehullah Sahab, was giving bayan. He said, if we analyze and look at the Shariat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will find, even if we look at the books of fiqh, we will find about 33% of the Shariat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pertains to aspects of ibadat, how to make salah, how to fast, how to perform hajj, etc. He said, 2/3 of the Shariat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 66%, approximately of what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with, pertains to teaching us how one human being should live with another human being, and how one human being should interact with another human being. So if you look at that hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, he said, Islam is founded, these are the five pillars of Islam. Anyone understands that a building is not complete with pillars. That's just the foundation. So what is the completion, what is the culmination, what is the perfection of Islam? What is the height of Islam? For that we have to look at another hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he said, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That Allah Ta'ala has sent me to complete this deen with what? With akhlaq and character. Another interesting point our elders raised, they say that if you look at this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Buni al-Islam. Islam is founded. Normally a foundation is not visible. Foundation is underneath the ground. What is visible? The building above the ground. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was rahmatul lil alameen. He was a rahmat for the entire alam. His legacy of rahmat and mercy had to reach the whole humanity right up to Qiyamah. Believers are only 1 billion, 20% of the world population. That 1 billion is exposed to your shahadat, they are exposed to your salah, your zakat, your hajj, etc. The rest of humanity, what are they exposed to? So this is why he said, Buni al-Islam, these five things, this is the foundation, this is not visible. What is visible? Makarim akhlaq, your akhlaq and your character. He said, Arba'un, Arba'un idha kunna fika, fala alayka ma fataka min ad-dunya. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are four things. There are four things. This is the emphasis which Shariat places on akhlaq and character. He says, there are four things which if you have these four things, then if you have nothing else in this world, you have not lost anything. You have the wealth of dunya and akhirat. There's nothing more that you can ask if you have these four things. Whatever else you have lost is not a loss. فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا فَاتَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And what are these four things? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, حِفْظُ أَمَانَةٍ. That you are amanatdar. You are an amanatdar person. صِدْقُ حَدِيثٍ. When you speak the truth. حُسْنُ خَلِيقَةٍ. You have good akhlaq and character. وَعِفَّةٌ فِي طُعْمَةٍ. And your risk and your sustenance, what you eat is halal. He says, if you have these four things, you are amanatdar. When you speak the truth. You have akhlaq and character. And your sustenance is halal. He says, you have the wealth of dunya and akhirat. Unfortunately, nowadays the yardstick and the measure which we use to measure piety, to measure taqwa, to measure deendari is external deen. A person, mashallah, has a beard, is wearing sunnat libas, is making namaz, he is outwardly portraying good deeds, then we feel that that is deendari and that is piety. That is the outward appearance of deendari. And shaitan will make effort on such a person. That is why if you look, with regards to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, is that sahabi, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقُوا فِرَاسَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. He said, fear the firasat of a mu'min because he looks with the noor of Allah. Umar was that personality who Allah had given great wisdom. On one occasion he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ لَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمْ تَنْتَنَةُ الرَّجُلِ بِاللَّيْلِ فِي صَلَاتِهِ.
He said, if you see a person wailing, not crying or not weeping, he said wailing. If you see a person wailing in the dead of the night in tahajjud salah, then do not feel that that is a pious person. La taghurrannakum, do not be deceived. Use the word taghurran, do not be deceived by the wailing and howling of a person in tahajjud salah that he is a pious person. Umar says, innama ar-rajul ar-rajul man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi wa man adda al-amanata idha tumin. A pious man amongst men, a true mu'min, a true believer, Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, is not the one who is wailing in tahajjud salah. He is that person from whose tongue and hands other people are safe. When he opens his mouth, roses come out, not thorns. When he raises his hand, it is a gesture of kindness and affection. When he raises his hand, it is not to hurt someone or inflict harm on someone. He says, وَمَنْ أَدَّ الْأَمَانَةَ إِذَا تُمِنْ. And he has amanat dari in him. His gaze is not on the pockets of others. He's not there to do others down. Umar radiallahu anhu says, that is a pious person. Not the one who is wailing in tahajjud salah. So we find, my respected brothers, the perfection, culmination, completion of our deen is through husne akhlaq, through good character. And ulama say, takmeel of husne akhlaq, the perfection and the height of akhlaq is husne kalam, is to speak the correct thing, is to be careful over the manner in which we utilize our tongues. You can see these various incidents. Sahabi makes ghibat of someone in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, your shahadat is not accepted. Your shahadat is not accepted. Why? Incorrect utilization of the tongue. Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. What a personality. The most beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved her the most. Her khutbah of nikah, her proposal, was sent by Allah. Allah instructed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry her. He passed away with his head on the chest of Aisha radiallahu anha. Such a personality. And what she says? She says about Safiya radiallahu anha, qasiratun, that she is a short woman. And Safiya was short. She was not a tall woman. But the tone, and what does Nabi Islam reprimands Aisha. And he says to Aisha, if this had to be joined with the seven oceans of the world, the seven oceans of the world will turn to poison. The extent of emphasis which was placed on the correct utilization of the tongue. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say that there is nothing that is more worthy of being locked up in jail than this tongue. Ulama say, on occasion, one Ahmad Latsab, Dawan Barakatuh, in his bayan, he says, ibadat, mujahada, person striving in the path of Allah, his zikrullah, his tilawat, all these various amal which we do. He says, this is how we will gain the closeness and the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, if you are negligent with regards to our muamalat and our muasharat, if you are negligent with regards to our business, social, financial conduct with those around us, our ibadat will take us close to Allah. This negligence will take us away from Allah. Ulama say that this is the road by which shaitan attacks the pious people. People very easily, what they say, mashallah, I give 4 months every year, I spend 1 year in the path of Allah Ta'ala, I make my tahajjud salah every day, I don't engage in zina, I don't engage in gambling, I don't engage in riba, my earnings are halal, I'm a 5-time namazi, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I do my zikrullah, I make tilawat of Quran. What more must I do? One of our elders explains it beautifully, what more you must do? He says, from morning till night, write down everything that you utter. From morning till night, write down everything that you utter. And then in the evening, open up that book where you wrote, and then you will know where your salah is gone. And you will know where your zikrullah is gone. And you know where your tilawat of Quran is gone. This incorrect utilization of the tongue, not being careful in the manner in which we speak, hurt the feelings of others, make ghibat of others, etc. This is something, my respected brothers, that illa mashallah, almost 100% of us are involved in. No matter who it may be, no matter who it may be and where it may be also, there is no place that is now safe from this. Whether it is the masjid, whether it is the markaz, whether it is the khanka, whether it is Baytullah also, whether it is Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. When people want to drink sharab, they go and look for one corner and hide and drink. Man wants to commit zina, he hides and commits zina. But when it comes to ghibat, when it comes to slandering, when it comes to speaking ill of people, when it comes to spreading rumors, baseless suspicions, then he can be in a masjid, he can be in Baytullah, he can be in Masjid al-Nabawi, still this will be taking place. Youngster, dindar youngster will go outside. If he sees by mistake his gaze falls on a woman, astaghfirullah straight away. Lowers his gaze, astaghfirullah. And he feels the hurt in his heart. A regular namazi, person who makes his namaz with jamaat, leave the namaz getting qaza, if his jamaat gets qaza, he feels the hurt in his heart. Person who makes namaz with takbir-e-ula, the day is takbir-e-ula, he misses. He feels the hurt in his heart. Yet morning till night will be making ghibat. Morning till night will be eating the flesh of our Muslim brother. Morning till night we will be attacking the izzat and dignity and the honor of someone else. And absolutely no effect we feel whatsoever in our hearts. We have become oblivious to this sin. It has become so common amongst us. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Muaz bin Jabal, who was Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Ulama say that on the day of judgment, the flag of the ulama of this ummah will be in the hands of Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. That martaba and status Allah gave him. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that Muaz, should I not tell you what is the khulasa of deen? What is the essence of deen? Muaz radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, what is it, O Nabi of Allah? Normally, if you are talking to a little child, then you, instead of saying something, you will show what you want to mean, what you mean. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not speaking to a child. He's speaking to an alim, and not just an alim, the alim of this ummah. And yet, to emphasize the importance of what he's saying, it comes in the riwayat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand in his mouth, took his tongue out and held it by his fingers and said, Muaz, the khulasa of deen, alayka bihifzil lisan, guard your tongue. Look after your tongue. Muaz radiallahu ta'ala was surprised. He expected khulasa of deen, essence of deen, he expected something very big. So he was surprised by this. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, will people be taken to task because of what they utter with their tongues? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebukes him and says, Thakilatka ummuka ya Muaz. It's an expression that, Muaz, I'm surprised you are saying such a thing. He said, nothing will be more conducive to cause my ummah face down to be thrown into Jahannam. Nothing will be more conducive to cause my ummah face down to be thrown into Jahannam besides the utterances of their tongues. We find this has become such a common thing, my respected brothers. In our homes, pardadar women, women whose not one hair has ever been seen by a strange man, when her daughter-in-law comes into her home, what is the reaction? What does she speak to her daughters about? The daughter-in-law is like this, the daughter-in-law is like that. She's talking to her son about it. The daughter-in-law, also from a pious background, speaking about the mother-in-law all the time. That is why we find fires are being lit in the homes of the ummah. Ulama say, to make ghibat is haram. To make ghibat is haram. Many of us, we accept that and we try and stay away from it. But we have to understand that equally haram is to listen to ghibat also. Equally haram is to listen to ghibat. There it might be one in a million. lot of us may be staying away from ghibat. When it comes to listening to ghibat, then we are ready. And this is the thing that plants the seeds of discord and disunity in the hearts of the ummah. Great work has taken place. Whether it comes to Dawud and Tabligh, or it comes to whatever avenue of deen, great work, great achievement has been recorded that has been wiped away because of incorrect utilization of the tongue. Hearts are disunited. Hearts are broken. There is no unity. There is no love. There is no muhabbat. Why? Because we are not cautious and we are not meticulous with regards to the manner in which we use our tongues. This tongue is a poison, is such a poisonous weapon. We want to inflict hurt. Sometimes you have to look for a gun, or you have to look for a sword, or you have to look for a stick. Worse than what hurt and harm you can cause with a sword or with a gun and a stick, you can cause with this tongue. This is something, the effect of it till the mort, till the death of a person remains with a person. There's one incident, take a few more minutes. If you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala describes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, bil mu'mineena ra'ufur rahim. Allah with regards to Himself, Allah says, inna rabbakum la ra'ufur rahim. Your Rabb is ra'uf and rahim. Your Rabb is merciful and benevolent. Referring to everything. With regards to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, bil mu'mineena ra'ufur rahim. When it comes to the believers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ra'uf and rahim. He was prepared to forgive anything, whatever they did to him. Whatever they did to him, he forgave. In Taif, he was pelted. He said to Aisha radiallahu anha, that was the worst day of my life, the worst persecution that came upon me was the persecution that came in Taif. Yet when the people of Taif came to Medina to accept Islam, he made the istiqbal. Not only made the istiqbal, he put a tent in the masjid for them. Honored them. Sahaba say he would go and sit with them and give special time to them. They had pelted him with stones for 3 miles, yet he forgave that. His daughter Zainab radiallahu anha, pierced in the stomach by Habar bin Aswad. She loses her child, suffers 6 years, passes away as a result of that wound. Yet in Fateh Makkah, he takes Habar bin Aswad radiallahu anhu by his hands to the Multazam and makes dua for his hidayat. He forgave that also. Wahshi mercilessly murdered his uncle Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Fateh Makkah took place, the order was given 17 people, 13 men, 4 women, wherever they are found, they must be killed. Amongst the 17, 12 accepted Islam. 3 were killed and 2 disappeared. There's no record of them. Wahshi was amongst that 17. Order had come from Allah. Wahshi is to be killed on sight. Yet, when Wahshi came and accepted Islam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgave him also. But these wounds that were inflicted, one was on his personality, on his zaat. He was on his body, physically he was wounded. His daughter was hurt. His uncle was hurt. Persecution upon him and his family. But these were physical wounds. The other is the wound of the tongue. On one occasion, the leaders of Quraysh sent for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented himself, cutting the incident very short. They had various propositions. They said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this dawah that you are giving, this invitation that you are giving, if it is motivated by a desire to become a king, we are prepared to make you our king. Leave this dawah. If it is motivated by a desire for wealth, we'll gather all our wealth and make you the richest amongst us. Leave this dawah. If it is motivated by a desire for women, choose the 10 most beautiful women of the Arab world, we'll marry you to them. If it is motivated by the fact that you have become sick, some jinn has affected you, we will make intizam for your ilaj, give up this dawah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has not sent me for this. Allah has sent me to call you to Him. Accept, you will be successful. If you do not accept, then wait for the decision of Allah. So then they said, okay, if you're not prepared to accept these propositions, then do this for us. Turn the desert of Makkah into a garden. Let vegetation and fruit grow in every direction. Let streams flow. If Makkah turns into a garden, then we are prepared to accept that you are the Nabi of Allah. So he says, Allah has not sent me for that. Allah has sent me to call towards him. If you accept, you will be successful. If you do not accept, then wait for the decision of Allah. So then they said, okay. From amongst our forefathers, Qusay was respected amongst the Arabs. They said, bring Qusay, resurrect him, bring him alive. And let him bear testimony that you are the Nabi of Allah, we will accept. He says, Allah has not sent me for this. They say, okay, you seem to do business just like us. You are doing business just like us. So, okay, tell your Allah, if you are his Nabi, to make your home out of gold, and to pave the streets around you with gold, and to let the malaika of Allah be in your khidmat, we will accept that you are the Nabi of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah has not sent me for this. So finally they said, if you're not prepared to accept any of these propositions, then last proposition we have, invite the azab of Allah on us. If you're Allah's Nabi, invite the azab of Allah upon us. He says, Allah has not sent me for this. Wait for the decision of Allah. Then they got exasperated and they said, you are not prepared to accept any proposition, go away from here. Now we can see what a mockery they had made of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was very, very hurt on that occasion. Because when they had initially summoned him, he thought that they were getting ready to accept Islam. He thought that the decision of the hidayat had come, so he had went with great hopes and aspirations. Now all those hopes and aspirations were dashed. Sadly, he walks away. Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, the son of Atika. Atika was the sister of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. According to one riwayat, she had accepted Islam. According to another riwayat, she had not accepted Islam. She was the aunt of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her son, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah, who was his cousin, he came behind him and he spoke very harshly to him. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your people have put all sorts of propositions in front of you. You did not accept a single one. Now if you take a ladder, and you climb up to the heavens, and you go to your Allah, and Allah gives you in writing that you are his Nabi, a seal is put upon it by Allah, four malaika accompany that seal and come to this dunya and say that you are the Nabi of Allah, still I won't bring iman on you. Allah's Rasulullah didn't say anything, he went away. Many years later, on the occasion of Fateh Makkah, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is proceeding towards Makkah, Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah comes to accept Islam. This is that Nabi halted 3 miles in Taif. He made istiqbal of the people of Taif. Habad bin Aswad, who murdered his daughter, he made istiqbal of him. Wahshi, who murdered Hamza, he made istiqbal of him. Yet, when he is told that Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah has come, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I am not prepared to see him. I am not prepared to even accept his Islam, that personality who Allah says, bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. He is the same one who said, if I take a ladder and I go to Allah, and Allah gives me a seal saying that I am his Nabi, and 4 malaika accompany it, still he will not accept Islam. I am not prepared to see him. This is the effect of the poison of the tongue. So many years later, this wound was greater than all the physical wounds that took place. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha interceded on behalf of Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah and said, O Nabi of Allah, he is your cousin, you are Raufur Rahim, you are Rahmatul Lil Alameen, you are a mercy. If you don't accept him, he is going to Jahannam forever and ever. Finally, on the intercession of Umm Salma radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted Abdullah bin Abi Umayyah and allowed him to come in his presence and accepted his Islam. But the lesson, my respected brothers, behind this, these incidents are there for a sabak and a lesson that we have to be careful with regards to the utilization of our tongues. Otherwise, years of tabligh will be undone. Years of ibadat will be undone. Comes in the riwayat, a person will make so much ibadat, will go so close to Allah Ta'ala, that his name will be written on the door of Jannat. Then, the mafhum of the hadith is, he'll utter something which will cause disunity, which will break the hearts of people. He will utter something because of that utterance, despite his years of ibadat that took him to the door of Jannat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says this person will be thrown into the depths of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Our elders are saying, my respected brothers, they say, stay away from three things. Stay away from three things. With regards to your tongue, stay away from lying. Stay away from insulting people. And stay away from ghibat. They say, if you stay away from these three things, even with very little ibadat, Allah Ta'ala will give you the highest martaba and the highest status of Jannah. Development of akhlaq and character, this is the hardest sabab. We find our fourth point of tabligh. Unfortunately, even in our 6 points muzakara, very little muzakara of this takes place. This talk has come out of us, the consciousness has come out of us, the awareness has come out of us. This is that avenue by which shaitan will attack the pious people. This is that avenue and road by which shaitan will cause our good deeds to be destroyed. If we will be free in the usage of our tongues, ghibat, slandering, speaking bad about people. Luqman the wise used to say, al-ilmu zaynun wa sukutu salamatun. Fa'idha nataqta falatakun mikthara ma in nadamtu ala sukuti marratan. وَلَقَدْ نَدَمْتُ عَلَى الْكَلَامِ مِرَارًا. He used to say, ilm, knowledge is beauty, and silence is protection. Knowledge is beauty, and silence is protection. If you speak of worldly things, if you speak of things besides deen, he used to say, do not speak excessively. I have never once regretted my silence. Many, many times I said things and I regretted it. So there is protection for us in silence. This is what our elders, when we go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, first muzakara that takes place, the four things you're not supposed to do, they say stay away from layani. Stay away from useless talks. What is meant by useless talk? This is when that majlis at the end of the day outside the masjid, sometimes when cash is being made into ash or whatever it is, or in one corner somewhere, this is when shaitan comes. Through the avenue of layani, ghibat about somebody, slandering about somebody, mocking at somebody, making a fool out of somebody, joking at somebody, jesting at somebody. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, thori der layani ke andar, 40 din ke maqbool ibadat ke noor ko salb kar lete. He used to say that little while of layani will take away the noor of 40 days of accepted ibadats. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, The beauty of your Islam is to stay away from useless things. We find, my respected brothers, it is not difficult with mush, by being conscious. We have to become conscious about our speech. Unfortunately, ghibat, slandering, etc. has become such a common aspect of our lives that we are doing it without even being aware of it. We have to become conscious, constantly make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Make muzakara amongst ourselves. This is why that opportunity is given to us when we go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Look at how aware Sahaba were. One Sahabi has a dispute with another Sahabi. Someone just speaks bad about that person who he has a dispute with. Straight away the Sahabi rebukes him. Do not let my dispute with him destroy my deen. Do not let my dispute with him destroy my deen. That was the level of consciousness that they had, which they learnt at the feet of the Master himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshaAllah.